It's not like we have to force him. If anything, he's waiting to come forward to say, I want to be a part of you. And that's an amazing thing. I want to thank the worship band just for just bringing us into God's throne room. That's what worship is about, is getting our hearts right and leading us into God's presence. Today I'm going to talk about something, how to deal with our time. Something that I actually got to speak to Johnny a couple weeks ago, and we talked about discipline and what it takes to stay on key with God, and it really struck my heart, you know, that that's something we really need, and something I spoke on before in the past, but I just revamped it for this time. How do we deal with our time, and is it important? Ephesians 5, 15 through 16 in the NIV. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. The Amplified, same verse. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity. Buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. We're going through this verse a lot, but everything I looked at made sense. We'll get into that later. King James Version. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming, buying back, just as Christ bought us back. We need to redeem that time. And then the Message. Don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in the darkness where no one will see them. Rip the cover off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Let's pray. Father God, we ask that you would make this word real to us. Help us to learn from it and walk away with a different idea and thought of who you are, using the most of our time to redeem our time, Lord God. Bless it, Lord, and help us to look to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Time is a talent given to us by God, and it is wasted and lost when not used according to his unique design. What areas of our life do we think would be improved as a result of better use of our time? That's something I ask myself. What am I doing? How can I do better? How can I make the most of my time that glorifies God? That's the key. Not for me. If it was up to me, I'd sit on the couch and watch TV. As I said, that's a natural thing. But we have to break those disciplines of the bad things and get on to the good things. And what does redeeming the time mean to us? We have to take that time to understand that we can redeem that time. Maybe up to this point you haven't been studying God's word maybe the way you should, or maybe you don't have a discipline of taking the time to read each day and pray. You know, one of the things I do is I force myself to do that because I need it, and you do too. All of us do. You know, it's the closer you get to God, you know, the more you emulate him. And it's a known thing that, you know, I used to say this when I lived in Tennessee. You could always tell when you go by a pig farm because it smells horrible. And it's your windows can be up and it still smells. Well, if you hang around with pigs enough, you're going to smell like pigs. But if you hang around with God, you're going to show that light and it's going to make a difference in your life. It's something you can't do on your own. There's no way you could do it. So we need to be consistent in our Christian life. Consistency is very important. I don't know about you guys, but there's things in my life that I enjoy that I make a priority. Anybody like coffee? Anybody here? I take the time. I always have coffee ready. I have it in you know, ground up, whether it's ground or already ground. I have it ready because I enjoy it. So I make myself, I never run out because I make that a priority because I really enjoy it. It's something I do. It's something that helps me, you know, get up in the morning. But it's those kind of priorities that we're talking about in light of God's word. Coffee is a good thing, but I think there's greater things than that. The NIV's "be very careful then how you live" is literally, "look therefore carefully how you walk." Let me say that again. "Look therefore carefully how you walk." The idea is, therefore, look that you walk carefully. Believers then are to walk or to live carefully so as to be wise or skillful and thus please the Lord. It takes a priority in our lives to make God a priority. And it doesn't mean, you know, when they talk about praying without ceasing, it's just the idea you're always ready to pray. You know, if we were going up to you and you were in the back and you're praying and every time we talk to you, you're praying, and it might seem a little strange at times, but I think the idea is to always be available for prayer and to see things in light of God's word so that we can pray. You know, instead of seeing something, Dewey talked about the idea from Facebook, seeing things in a different light. When you have a prayerful heart, what happens is when you see a bad thing, you pray about it instead of, wow, that's really bad. Well, look at our own lives in the past. We need to look past these things and have a prayerful heart so that these disciplines become a part of us so that God can become a part of us. That's what we want. We want God to be a part of our lives so that we can have a better understanding and a better knowledge. The manner for this careful, precise walk is making the right use of every opportunity. And the reason for this careful walk is that the days are evil. Doesn't take a brainiac to see that things are bad sometimes. You know, sometimes, to be honest, you have to get your eyes off of that because it'll depress you. It'll make you just think about, oh, my God, the world is coming to an end. Well, let's look to Christ and know that he is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. In him, there's truth. There's no lies. You know, again, it depends on how you look at things. Many are walking in sin, and since the time is short, believers must make full use of their time to help them turn from darkness to light. This necessitates wise conduct. That's what we want. We want to turn people to Christ. The only way we could do that is to emulate him. And it's not by trying to walk a certain way or talk a certain way. It's just coming close to him. Like I said about the pig farm. You know, when you work on something like that, you will smell. And people around that pig farm won't notice, but someone who's not around that will say, wow, you know? Well, we want people to see Christ in us. That's the key to this life, is to see that Christ can be so fulfilling in us that he can make the difference where when we speak, he speaks. And it's not because we're making it happen. Just like this morning with worship. You could not have made that happen. Amen? You can't make God's Holy Spirit move like that. It doesn't work that way. I think when the people of God come together and their hearts are right, I think that's what happens. And I couldn't help but hear people behind me just worshiping and just getting involved in worship. And that's what it's about. Worship helps us to cleanse our heart, get that junk out of the way. And as Dewey talked about, look at things in a different light. You know, and we have to do that. Walk in wisdom. Circumspect comes from two Latin words, which means looking around. The Greek word carries the idea of precision and accuracy. See that you walk carefully with exactness is the beginning. See that you walk carefully with exactness is the beginning. It's good to get into the original language to see what it really means sometimes, because sometimes we don't understand that. You know, we need to know that God has a plan for us, and it's bigger than what we know sometimes. The opposite would be walking carelessly and without proper guidance and forethought. We cannot leave the Christian life to chance. We must make wise decisions and seek to do the will of God. That's our goal, is to do the will of God. What is the will of God? Whatever you put your hands to. You know, if you give someone some breakfast out there, if you helped open the door for someone, if the people who are serving with the kids, the ones in the back running sound and running the projector, or just being here supporting your family, praying for them, helping them to understand that there's more to this life, that's doing the will of God. It's not always the great big things. Sometimes it's the small things, just encouraging each other. Not always just seeing the worst, as that Facebook post said. It's so easy to do that, right? So easy to do that. It's so easy to see the worst in people. But it takes an effort to see through the eyes of God and see that there's great things in people. Why? Because God made each person with an exact purpose. And we can know that. We just have to really have our hearts opened and really pliable, as I say. The idea of having, to me, an open heart is being able to be moved by God's Spirit, to be changed, and be able to, for a good father who he is, to say, "Hey, Roger, watch it." To me, that's a good father. I need that sometimes. You know, I need that good father to say, "Hey, walk right, do right." You know, part of me, for what I need to do, I, at home, it's so easy to watch TV, so what I'll do is I have my books by, and I always have something I'm studying, so I'll take that time and just grab one of them, and I usually study on a subject. This is my disciplines. I'm sharing with you a little bit. I'm studying right now on Romans 5 and the idea of the two natures, which isn't exactly really true, the two natures, but that's what we talk about sometimes, and I can't get into it now, but it's very interesting because it's an idea that, again, we make doctrines and theology out of. And I want to know what the word really means, not just what I think it means or not what just someone told me it means. I want to know what God really has said so I can walk in the right way. You know, it's like if you go to build a house. You know, I noticed up here there's whoever did some work here, they did great job. You know, I just see some really proud craftsmanship of somebody who took the time. It takes discipline to do that. It takes discipline to take a piece that you thought you cut exactly and it's a half inch short. You don't want to fill it with wood putty. You know, it doesn't look right. You know, it's like a friend of mine, his son, he would tell him, duct tape fixes everything. Okay? So he came home one day and the cabinet, the middle of it fell out. So the son, what did he do? He got duct tape out. And he taped it up. And the dad told me, he says, "It looked horrible." But I told him that's what that's what it's for. And I didn't explain to him anything more. But that's why we want to learn and understand. We want to know what God's word says so that we can be precise. You know, these two cuts here are 45s. They make a 90, which is an L. It has to be precise. If it's not two 45s, but a 47 and a, 43, it's going to be off, and it won't look good, no matter what you do. It has to be the same all the time, and that's what we need to do. We need to walk in wisdom. It is a mark of wisdom, verse 15. Only a fool drifts with the wind and tide. A wise man marks out his course, sets his sails, and guides the rudder until he reaches his destination, knowing exactly where you're going. I don't know about you guys, but I live in Plainfield. I have my route. I go the same way each time. Maybe someone else will do something different, but for me, I just head up to 30, take it all the way to 47, and I'm here. I set my sights. Where am I going? To Elburn Church, so that I can do what I need to do. This morning when I'm sitting there, what I try to do is get my heart right. It's so easy to be overcome with the cares of this life. And sometimes you have to, one of the reasons why we pray and seek God is to get rid of that junk, you know? And I don't know about you guys, maybe it's just me, but do you ever hear that voice that says, you're no good. You're not good enough. You don't do enough. That's not God. God does not come to condemn you. That is not God's word, okay? As a good father, he might tell you sometimes, hey, stop that. But that's what a good father does, and you could tell a father who cares. He's someone who loves that child and wants the best for them, not just someone who's a tyrant and just wants to tell them because they want to micromanage. That's not God. But we get to learn and understand God through his word and through prayer and through worship and just listening and hearing. Like I said this morning, you couldn't help but feel God's spirit move. Anybody agree? Man, it's amazing. And again, it amazes me that, and that's what I was thinking about when I was sitting here or standing here worshiping, is God does these great things. And we forget they're miracles. You know, his spirit moves. That's a miracle to know that. And when we don't remember that, we forget when we pray, God hears. It might not be the way you want it to be, but he still hears. And he understands, and he's doing things in ways we don't know. And we have to trust him and understand that. When a man wants to build a house, he first draws his plans so he knows what he is doing. Yet how many Christians plan their days so that they use their opportunities wisely? That's the key. And that's what I was talking to Johnny about, the idea of setting that time. Making the time where we can do those things that we know are right, to pray. You know, one thing my wife and I do when something, you know, she'll say, oh, teacher at work, something's wrong, let's pray. Oh, this went on, that went on, let's pray. Don't wait. I learned this a long time ago from a friend who I asked him to pray for me and walked away, and he's like, where are you going? I was like, what do you mean? He said, let's pray. You asked for prayer, let's pray. It made a lot of sense. Why wait? But that's a thing we do sometimes, and that's the disciplines we do. You know, the first time I did this, my wife thought I was really weird. We were sitting there watching TV, and I just raised my hands up. And I just started, really talking very low. And she's like, what is wrong with you? And I said, I made a decision that when I feel like it, I just need to give things over to God. It doesn't matter who's around. You know, that's my way of saying, God, I can't do this. I can't make this happen. And it's very easy to think that we can. You know, but we have to draw our plan according to God's will. We have to make those days fruitful by our plans that consider him, what he wants, and what he wants to do in our lives. True, we cannot know what a day may bring forth, James 4:13-17, but it is also true that a planned life can better deal with unexpected events. That's why when you get those times where you don't know what to do, pray. Don't think twice about it. Wow, somebody just got in a bad accident. Pray. Let's pray. Let's take the time. Let's go visit them. Let's go find out. Let's find out what the family's doing. What do they need? Do they need food? They've been at the hospital all day. You know, can I bring them lunch? Can I bring them dinner? Those are the things that is what Christ would do. Taking care of those needs. We don't think of that as a Christian thing. It really is. There's a guy at my office who, for the longest time, he did not believe in God, but he had such a good heart. And I told him one day, I said, John, you have such a Christian attitude. And he literally like that. And I said, well, because he goes overboard, but it's bad to say that. He does what we should do. He heard about someone at work whose son needed a computer for school, What did he do? He went out and bought a laptop and gave it to him. He's doing things like that all the time. And I could say now that finally John understands and he's a Christian. He just didn't know that he was doing the things a Christian would do. He didn't understand that's what the Christian life is. And that changed his heart. Because he used to tell me, "You leave me alone." You know, "I know what you're trying to do." And I really didn't, but he would get convicted because that's the Holy Spirit. It's not me. But see, those things that we do show our hearts. And John had a really good heart. He does have a good heart. He will go out of his way to help people. And that's what Christ would do. Christ wants us to have those disciplines in our life so that we can do those things. You know, we have to have a planned life so that when those things come up in life that are tragic or hard, it's okay to cry. It's okay to be hurt, but we need to understand that there's a way to do things, to love people, to care for people. We really need to understand that as a Christian, there are disciplines that we need. We have to have it. In verse 15, Paul says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. The walk by which we express the Christian life is not that of a carefree, freewheeling attitude, but one that demonstrates sober thinking and careful diligence." Sober thinking and careful diligence. The things that are precious to you, you'll put more time into. It's just how it is in life. You know, when I was younger, and I played sports all the time. I loved sports. I didn't even realize it until later. I was kind of a fanatic. But thank God my brother was very good in sports, and I was able to, you know, somehow we got those skills. You know, just very good. Anything that was thrown to me, I would catch, and I was very fast. But it also took the discipline. I noticed that by the time I was in fourth and fifth grade, I'm playing with the older kids. And when I was in eighth grade, I was actually playing on men's leagues for softball, 16-inch. And it was just because I was so disciplined at playing. You know, the men would play their leagues at our school ground in the city. And I loved it, so I would come out and I would just, they needed people just to catch the ball and throw it back in so they could practice. I did that. I loved it. I would get there early just so I could be out there. And what happened was they would see me and say, "Hey, someone didn't show up. You want to play?" "Well, what do you think?" "Yeah!" I didn't say it like that. "Oh, sure. I'll play, I guess." There was an expectancy. I wanted that. And then what happened because of that, people saw that I could really play and I was playing like the men, and they got me in leagues with them, you know. Well, what happened though, it was a discipline in my life. And as a Christian, I found now things can be the same way. I could read God's word and understand it. It doesn't have to be confounding or troubling. You know, there's places on the web you can go to find the commentaries for these things if you're not sure, because it is good to know. I love to delve into that. To me, that is like sports now. I want to know what it means. You know, not just what someone thinks it means, because that's what happens sometimes. You can read a commentary and it'll be someone's more of their thought on it. What does the original language mean? Compare that to other verses that say the same things from the same writer in the same context. You start to see things in a different way, and it makes more sense. Well, that's what we're talking about today, is being wise and using those things to help us to grow closer to Christ, to understand there's a better life than just walking around aimlessly. You know, when we did communion last time, my sister here, I love the way her heart is. She just has such a servant's heart, and it comes out. Now, I'm not much on, I don't care if people make mistakes, or not saying you did, but it's so easy to think like that. "Oh, they kind of messed up." So what? I mess up too, and so do you. It's so easy to have that, again, that idea of what's wrong. Looking for what's wrong instead of looking for what's right. Because it's better to have a right heart than to have a wrong heart and have a wrong attitude. There's, I think I mentioned this before, there's a guy I love studying, Douglas Moo, and I have his lectures now on a WAV file, so I listen to it in the mornings. And the guy is so smart. It's unbelievable. His commentary just on Romans is bigger than most people's Bibles. It's huge. He gets into stuff that just goes over my head, so I have to read it sometimes 3 or 4 times to get the gist of what he's saying. But when I heard him speak, he started to stutter. Now, first time I heard it, it kind of threw me off a lot. I thought, ooh, that's weird. But then I had to get my mind off of that and say, that's not what it's about. It's about this man's heart. And now I don't even hear a stuttering. I hear a man who is trying to find the truth, who's trying to teach me something. That's more important. And that's what the Christian life is about helping each other and help us to understand this life. The quality of a One of the great emphasis of the Sermon on the Mount is that the servant is called to yield the fruits of righteousness and of service in the kingdom of God. To make the most of every opportunity means to make a wise use of time so that the things we are doing are productive and helpful and not destructive and wasteful. I want to get that in my heart. So that the things we are doing are productive and helpful, not destructive and wasteful. The quality of a person's life can be partly measured by the use of their time. You know, when people take the time to know God, you'll know it. You know, you'll hear things. You'll see things in a different light. At our men's meeting a few weeks back, one gentleman, Robert, he started asking a question. And one of the other brothers, who's very smart, knows the word. He's a teacher too. Said, let me take this. And he started talking to him. But what I saw in Robert was he was fearful. It wasn't even about the question. The idea was he was a little afraid because of what we talked about, the idea of salvation. Can we lose it? That's what he was worried about. And I had to tell him at the end, I said, look, this is what you have to understand about the scripture, is that God is trying to help you to be disciplined, just like your kids. You don't let them just run. I said, do you have kids? He said, oh, yeah. He said, do you let them do whatever you want? He said, no. They'd run the household. I said, that's what God is trying to teach us. He wants us to be better men and women of God so that we can do those things that show forth God's grace and understanding. And that's what knowing sometimes, hearing, is about. It's not about even hearing his question. It was the idea that I could see there was fear. Does that make sense? He had fear in his heart. That was more important than the question being answered, if that makes sense. Sometimes we have to look past that. Somebody might say something. They might even be nasty to you. Ask yourself, this person's never been nasty to me before. What's going on? They may be hurting. So instead of reacting to the nastiness, say, hey, what's going on? How can I help you? Can we pray about it? You know, because it's very easy to look past this. Wow, that person is just nasty as can be. Well, there might be a reason why they're hurting. And it's so easy to look past that hurt and to think, well, they should be disciplined. Well, all of us need to be disciplined, but sometimes we get hurt. Sometimes our hearts are just troubled with things in this life. We have to look to God and discipline ourselves so that we can be that hands and feet, as they say, of Jesus. You know, doing those things that he wants us to do. See, Christ has an answer for everything. But the way he uses his spirit is to move on us so that we do those things. Could he do everything? Absolutely. But in this process, we learn to be closer. We learn those disciplines. They help us to understand who we are and how we are in the body. It matters. It matters. Because again, when an enemy comes up and says, you're no good, you might just say, yeah, you're right. I just give up. And plenty of people do. Because that enemy is constantly nagging, trying to knock us off our course, our discipline, and we can't let that happen. Few points. Do we think about the quality of our life? Not the quality, I got a 60-inch TV. I got the newest SUV that's out there. You know, I have this or that. That's not what we're talking about. The quality of life is as a Christian, knowing who God is and understanding that His Spirit moves in a great way. You know, this morning is a prime example of that. You couldn't make that happen, and it's because people decided, I'm going to sing, I'm going to play, I'm going to get my hearts right, and then the people out here are saying, we're here to seek your face, God. That's what it's about. It's a discipline. You might not have known that, but that's what it really is about. Whenever I go to a service, I don't care what it is or what we're doing, I expect to hear from God. I always expect to hear from God. It's not because I'm better than anybody. I've learned from discipline that God will speak, but will I listen? That's the key. Will I listen? You know, God is speaking all the time. I had some friends one time say, you know, God is, I could feel it. God's ready to do something. And the other one said, yeah, I feel it too. He's about to do something. And I just had to say something. I said, God is doing something right now, guys. And I wasn't trying to be funny or knock him, but it's so easy. You know, God, what is God going to do? God is here right now. You know, I've seen him move too much in my life to know that it's not random. It's not by chance. It's because God's Spirit needs to move. He needs to teach us and to show us how to live. How does our time affect the quality of our life? That's the key. What do we do with our time? Is our time just wasted on our own pleasures, on the things we want to do? You know, and it's okay to do those things. You know, you should take the kids to the park, or you should go to the movies if you want. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But there comes that time where you need to know, I need to pray. You know, I need to read His Word. I need to understand these things so that I could be a better Christian. Not because He judges us on that, but it's the idea that as a good father, just like your kids, you don't want your kids, you know, if your kid is going up and grabbing everybody else's cookies, you don't want that to happen, right? That's not what it's about. You want them to learn to share and understand. And that's for us as Christians, too. We need to have that love and understanding. And is our time spent in vain? Is the time that we use, is it just self-centered? Or is it something we can change? And we can. That's the key to it. We could change it at any time. It's very easy to think. I truly believe, and I heard the testimony this morning on, I think it was Caleb, the announcer said, you know, so many times we think people are past God's grace. Oh, that guy, he'll never come to God. He is so far gone. And then he announced, listen to this story. And it was a man who had been sentenced. He was serving 6 months and ready to go either to 6 to 12 years in prison. And God came into his life. He saw it. The judge had mercy on him and let him off after the 6 months. Don't know that whole story. He comes to know God. Now he's married to the woman that had his child, and they're going to church, and he's trying to, he says, I could feel God in my life. But the thing was, is he looked like someone that was a statistic that would never go anywhere. And as Dewey was talking about, that idea of, oh, this guy's always going to be a loser. It's very easy to see that. Oh, this woman, she's long gone. No. Today might be the day to start changing. Today might be the day to make those disciplines come true. There are so many things you could do. I have Bible Gateway send me stuff every day, verse of the day. I have men's studies come through. I do my own studies on theology and doctrine, and then I am taking a class that I shouldn't be taking because it might be too much. But you know what? I got to try. If it's too much, I'll stop. But I like it. I like being pushed. Now, that's for me. I'm not saying you have to do that. But each person needs to find what's important in your life. What makes sense? You know, it might be just spending more time with your wife, doing those things that she wants. Or for your husband, the same thing. Doing those things that will help him to bring him closer. And then what actions can we take to redeem our time? That's what we're talking about this whole time, redeeming the time. Taking it back. Buying it back. What can we do? I know for a fact in my life that if it was up to me, I would not do the right things. Anybody else? If I just did my life based on my desires and my wants, it would be evil. You know, that's just the way it is. But because I learned to discipline my life to understand and know God, and then understand His Word, and then also to understand someone who's hurting, to be able to care for them, to hear their voice. They're asking a question, but what they're really saying, I'm hurting. I need a friend. They don't need the Bible. Sometimes they just need a friend to call them, hey, how are you doing today? Well, let me tell you, we get ready to listen. That might be part of your job, to hear what they have to say, and it's okay. As a Christian, that's what we're here for. We need to redeem our time. And does God have a plan for our lives? Absolutely. Absolutely. We were not put here per chance for whatever would happen. We have a plan. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. We understand that God has a plan for us, each of us. He knows exactly what you need. He knows exactly where you're going. Everybody has a different story. But know this, God is in control. So you either go with the person who knows everything, or you try to do it on your own. And that could be very lonely, because understanding God and understanding His ways are what's really important in this life. That's what matters. What do we do with our time? That's why when Johnny said that, that's something when he spoke to me about that, I could hear a little fear, you know. And it's very easy to look at someone and say, oh, they've got it all together. No, none of us do. We're all looking. And it makes sense to me that I'm just like him. Sometimes you wake up like, wow, what am I going to do today? I feel kind of, off. Well, I'm supposed to pray. Let me pray. Let me read the Word. Suddenly, things come to light. Oh, it is a good day. You know, it's a good day to serve God. It's very easy. Or to call a friend. Say, hey, I'm hurting. Can you pray for me? You know, do you have something, do you have a word for me? That's why it's okay to go up and talk to people and help, try to help them. Try to find out what's going on. Again, being the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the heart, the feet and hands of Jesus. We are the body of Christ. And when we get under the headship of Christ, the head is the thing that makes everything else work. You know? You cut off my head, it's going to work below. It's not going to happen. That's just how it works. But when the head is attached and it knows and it has a plan, the body works. And that's what Christ wants us to do. Maybe today, Sue, do you mind playing a little? Maybe today you're wondering if God has a plan for you. Maybe you need a little reassurance. It's very easy to think, you know, you're by yourself, and you're not. We want to take the chance. Dewey, you want to come up? We want to take a little time to pray and ask God. If you can come up for anything. If you need healing, you need prayer for someone else, feel free to come up. But the idea is we want to, this morning, know what God wants in our lives, what He desires. So if you need that, come on up right now. And it's okay, because I need help too. All of us do. The words I heard this morning from Dewey and from the worship team and other people, that's God's will sometimes to